America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation to celebrate great news in another part of the world where a small nation has succeeded in vaccinating virtually all of their population. And given the fact that this is one of the poorer nations in Asia, it's a remarkable achievement. So how did they do it, and what nation are we talking about? And what is the latest about the political fight over vaccines? What's interesting to me is that if you watch the way things have gone this week, it has gone from a fight on the part of many, many Americans and good, loyal, decent, hardworking, thoughtful, well-informed Americans, a good many Americans rejecting the vaccine, wanting not to get a vaccination. I think they're making a mistake, but okay, we can talk about that. It's gone from a debate over that, where basically people have pulled back in resistance to vaccines because there's no real mandate for the government forcing you to take a vaccine. And instead, people have been focused on the idea of mask mandates returning. The reason this is sort of surprising is because the association is obviously very clear. I think what everybody would prefer would be a better coverage with the vaccine, in which case the mask mandates would not be desirable or necessary or even enthusiastically endorsed. And by the way, there are people who prefer to wear masks, even though they've gotten vaccinated. There's some actual scientific developments that I want to share with you about that, which is important. But the truth of the matter is that there's also a new poll that shows that vaccine mandates, not mask mandates, which nobody likes, but vaccine mandates, the idea that government and private industry should actually mandate vaccines, that is surprisingly popular in the United States. 1-800-955-1776, we'll get to that. First, there's this. Most adults in Bhutan are quickly vaccinated. Bhutan is a republic in the Himalayas. And 800,000 people, and they have, through a rapid-fire COVID-19 vaccination campaign, fully inoculated 90% of the eligible adult population. A bright spot in the region that is badly lagging behind rich countries in administering the shot. On Monday, the country ended the second phase of the effort. It has a population of 800,000, as I mentioned. And it administered the second dose of vaccines, a mix of Western and Chinese shots, in 6 days. UNICEF, the United Nations Agency for Children, described the second leg of the campaign as arguably the fastest vaccination campaign to be executed during a pandemic in all of history. Well, that's an accomplishment. While wealthy countries in the U.S. and Europe have inoculated 50% or more of their populations, poor countries continue to fall far behind, leaving them dangerously exposed to the more transmissible and deadly Delta variant that is spreading worldwide. Among the neighbors to Bhutan in South Asia, India has fully vaccinated not 90% as Bhutan has, but 7%. And it has a slightly larger population. I think it's, 800,000 as opposed to over a billion? Yeah, it's 1,000 times more. Or more than 1,000 times more. The Bangladesh, only 2.6 have been vaccinated. Nepal, only 5% vaccinated. A project based at the University of Oxford points out, Bhutan began its vaccination campaign earlier this year with 550,000 doses of AstraZeneca vaccine donated by India. China later donated 50,000 doses of Sinopharm. Bhutan received 500,000 shots made by Moderna through COVAX, a World Health Organization-supported effort to supply shots to poorer nations. During the second phase, most people received doses different from the first one, but apparently medically, in this case, that is supposed to work. And one can certainly hope so. Look, I mention this because with the vaccinations in Bhutan, you can look at it and say it's a peaceful, a decent nation deep in the Himalayas, surrounded by giant nations, including China, which is not too far away. And so you can feel sympathetic for them. And when people recognize that this is good news, it's kind of an acknowledgement that the vaccines actually do work. And there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal, and it's a very important piece, by Laura Cooper. And it addresses the fact that many people ask about, which is, why should I get a vaccine if I'm going to get the virus anyway? And she cites a report from late May by the CDC. It found more than 10,000 cases of COVID-19 in vaccinated people at least 14 days after their final shot. That was across 46 states. That's 10,000 cases. Wow. That equates to about 0.01%. In other words, 1/100 of 1% of the roughly 100 million who had been vaccinated up to that point. The CDC reports that as of July 19th, when more than 161 million Americans have been fully vaccinated, the health agency received reports of 5,914 vaccinated patients across 49 states and territories who were hospitalized or died due to the disease. That's an even smaller percentage. It's less than 0.001%. It's an incredibly small number of people. That those people were hospitalized or died due to the disease. Of that group, 74% of them were over the age of 65. There were 1,141 deaths. That's of people who, not because of the vaccinations, but had been vaccinated and got the disease anyway. People who tested positive even after receiving the shot had fewer and milder symptoms, among them cough, fever, headaches, and fatigue, than those who didn't get the vaccine, according to a study published at King's College in London. The researchers also found that vaccinated people were far more likely to be asymptomatic despite testing positive for the virus. William Schaffner, who's a professor of infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, said the COVID-19 vaccines don't completely close the door to infection. Breakout COVID-19 infections can happen, he said, but the antibodies that the vaccine has helped to mobilize actually do rally the, they trap the invaders on the beach, so to speak. They never get inland. In other words, they can't develop and start multiplying at the same rate if you have been vaccinated. The Delta variant, which is the most contagious version of the virus to be identified, may also be contributing to the spread among the vaccinated. The strain, which the CDC say now accounts for more than 80% of new cases in the U.S., is estimated to be 40% to 50%. The point being that even if you get the disease after a vaccination, the chances are infinitesimally small that you'll be hospitalized or dead. And that's moving in the right direction. Now, coming up, is it time or too soon for Trump nostalgia? We will get to that and more coming up on the Medved Show. We'll be right back. vaccine mandates are surprisingly popular. Masking and mask mandates, not so much. We will get to that. There's a question that has come up because of where we are in the calendar. And it's a question that I think is on a lot of people's minds, not just because of the COVID crisis, but just because of the ongoing unfolding of events and some of the disappointments and some of the outrage about some aspects of the Biden administration. But this came up in a conversation the other day about there are billboards that are apparently popping up in various places. With a picture, a smiling picture of President Trump. And, of course, it says, miss me yet? I remember we had the same kind of billboards for President Bush after President Obama took over. And he had not a totally triumphant first 6 months. You may remember he ended up losing the Congress. He lost 50 seats in the House of Representatives. That was in his first midterm election. Biden still has that midterm election to try to handle. But this brought us back, this question about, is it too early for people to feel nostalgia for the Trump era, to one of our classic calls of the week.
The call of the week.
I get so overwhelmed. Like, I don't understand.
It's educational.
Like, everyone goes to the bathroom on campus every day, unless they have some great powers.
It's informative.
Your talk show creates a hostile environment.
Feel the love.
I love Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro, please keep it up.
Hear the hate.
And you're the devil. You're the big Hitler.
Every Friday, exclusively on The Michael Medved Show.
And the winner is... The winner is a collage of Trump campaign songs from June of 2016. We had begun asking listeners to call in if they had campaign songs of their own that they had written for President Trump, then candidate Trump. And the results? Well, listen.
Make America great again. Vote for Trump so he will win. All aboard the Trump train. Get aboard the Trump train.
There was a couple of pitch problems here and there.
Hey, I got a Trump song.
Go.
I trust in Trump. Can't you see?
He's sweating like a pig.
My reasons aren't great, but that don't mean a thing.
What kind of crap is this?
I have no education, you guessed.
I love the poorly educated.
I trust in Trump.
Have you been working on this song for a long time?
Years, months,
hours.
Half hours.
Pack it up, pack it in. Let's think again. I came to win, and that's the sin. I won't care to back up. Punk, you better back up. Try and play the role, the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up, come on, come on. Throw your hands up if you got the feeling. Jump across the ceiling. Trump around, Trump around. Trump up, and get down. Trump, 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 Trump.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. His name is Donald Trump, and he will get us our reward. He will crush the Chinese commies, and we'll just win more and more. And he'll build that damn wall, too.
And the wall just got 10 feet taller, believe me.
Glory, Donald Trump. Glory, glory, Donald Trump. Glory, glory, Donald Trump. And he'll crush that Hillary.
Well, I don't know why that's funny.
And she offered that comment, I don't know why that's funny. That was before she actually lost the election. Do you remember all of that? It's very interesting because, you know, Joe Biden is Mr. Trains, right? And he's sending, what is it, $60 billion more to Amtrak, which is a ridiculous expenditure. And it's part of this, basic bill that they just passed. And again, but Biden didn't use the train heavily in his campaign. Trump did. It was get him aboard the Trump train. I think because Trump train is alliterative and it sounds that it fits together. Speaking of getting on the Trump train, I do hope that President Trump will consider the suggestion that I was echoing on this call. It was made initially by a letter writer to the New York Times that really what this country needs, because there's this talk about vaccine mandates. And it's true that there is polling that shows wide approval for vaccine mandates. But honestly, I think that will only make it more likely that people resist the vaccines. And one of the points that was made was the idea of doing a public service announcement that would feature President Trump and President Obama speaking to the two different subgroups in America that are least likely to get a vaccine right now. And that would be black people and conservative Republicans who seem to be opposed disproportionately to getting the vaccine. And the whole idea of the commercial would be that President Obama speaks first and says, I don't agree with much with President Trump, but there's one thing we do agree on. And then Trump would say, that's getting a vaccine for the good of the country, for your own safety, et cetera. And they shake hands and boom, commercial done, message sent. There's a piece in Consumer Health Day that reports that unvaccinated Republicans exposed to an endorsement by President Donald Trump were 7% more likely to change their minds about the vaccine. On the other hand, a similar message from President Joe Biden caused Republicans' opposition to increase by as much as 10%, which means that, I don't know, is there some way when Biden is urging the country to get vaccines, to somehow censor his message from getting to Republicans, which is going to make them even less likely to get the vaccines? We will get to this entire question and the idea of vaccine mandates and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
Trump around, Trump around, Trump up, and get down. Trump, 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 Trump.
My
the Michael MedVed Show. MichaelMedVed.com.
Michael Medved Show. It's Friday. Looking forward to a weekend. You can enrich your weekend enormously with some of the offerings that you can get for free, actually, from the Medved History Store. You know how you get them for free? You sign up for a Medhead Plus membership. This is a new offering we have. Go to our website, find out about it. The cost of a Medhead Plus membership is 22 cents a day. It comes to $79.99 for a full year, where you not only have full MedHead membership, where you have access to this show, a 24/7 commercial-free, anywhere, anyhow, but you also have access to all of the offerings, and there are more than 80 different titles in the MedVed History Store. You could, in fact, if you wanted to, piece by piece, download the entire MedVed History Library. This is on special sale right now. It is normally considerably more, but it's available for $79.99 for a full year subscription. And by the way, they also make it easy for you, if you're already a MedHead subscriber, to get the reduced price that is built into upgrading your MedHead membership. Go to michaelmedved.com. And did I say it's streaming, not downloading? Given the fact that I'm doing this, I should know that distinction. You can stream at any time, at 24/7 for the MedVed broadcast every day. Okay, that's at michaelmedved.com. Go up there and check out the MedHead Plus offer, new offer. We're talking about vaccine mandates being popular, and this goes to some comments that President Biden made today that have greatly alarmed people. I don't know why or how or if they should be alarmed, but he was asked if President Biden was asked today whether he was feeling confident about the country being not being headed back toward lockdowns. And here's what he had to say about our current situation and looking forward. This is clip three.
I said earlier this week that we are not headed back towards lockdowns, but if the science is evolving, how can you be so confident in that? We heard you say weeks ago that the virus was going on, but Dr. Fauci has also indicated that we are headed in the wrong direction.
Well, you're literally correct on everything you said, but it doesn't make come to the conclusion you're implying. It is clear that if everybody's vaccinated, the existing vaccines work to prevent death, serious illness, hospitalization. Okay? If tomorrow I could wave a wand and every American was vaccinated, then in fact, we'd be out of the woods. Now, can something else happen a year from now? Can there be a different virus? Can there be something? It's possible. But I'm talking about COVID and the existing variants that have come forward so far. So it makes it's a simple proposition. If you're vaccinated, you find yourself in a situation where you are highly unlikely, even if you somehow get the virus, very small percentage do, that you are not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be on a ventilator, you're not going to be sick, but you could be in a position to possibly spread it to someone who wasn't if you have it in you.
Okay, then he was asked about the idea of nationwide vaccine mandates. This is clip six. Listen.
Why not push for vaccine mandates in states, private companies, schools? Do you want to see those entities pass vaccine mandates?
Well, I'd like to see them continue to move in that direction, and that's why I pointed out. I had asked the Justice Department to determine whether that is they're able to do that legally, and they can. Local communities can do that. Local businesses can do that. It's still a question whether the federal government can mandate the whole country. I don't know that yet.
It's not a good idea. But again, for individual businesses, to say, no, don't come into work, work long distance unless you want to get a vaccine, which should be easy to get. Well, Americans are in favor of it. Nearly two-thirds of Americans say they support federal, state, or local governments requiring everyone to get a coronavirus vaccine, according to a new survey. The big picture, there's recently been a surge in vaccine requirements for employees among healthcare organizations, governments, and private businesses. According to the survey, 64% of respondents said in July that they'd support government vaccine requirements. That's a bump up from the 62% of the sample who said the same thing in May. 70% said they'd support vaccine requirements to get on an airplane. 61% requiring children to be vaccinated to go to school. Of course, they probably wouldn't vaccinate children younger than 12. And 66% support requiring college students to be vaccinated to attend a university. A majority of every demographic subgroup, except for Republicans, said they'd support vaccine requirements. But there were still 45% of Republicans who said they approve of such mandates. A majority of respondents in all but three states said they support requirements that everyone be vaccinated. What are the three states that are exceptions? Wyoming, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Unsurprisingly, vaccinated people are far more likely to support mandates because it doesn't really affect them. They're already vaccinated. And most of the people who strongly disapprove of mandates are unvaccinated. This, according to a professor at Harvard, Matthew Baum, who's one of the report's authors. Vaccine mandates and vaccines themselves may be controversial, the commenter in Axios says, but they are controversial among a minority of Americans. And it does seem that right now the best way to promote support for a vaccine or to get people to reconsider a decision not to get a vaccine is to make it clear that it's not a question of, oh, do you support vaccines or masking? It's a question, do you support vaccine? You don't support both, you support one or the other. And the best alternative to masking and further restrictions and further lockdowns is precisely getting people vaccinated. And you'll notice that in places, including the state of Washington, where the majority of people have been vaccinated, there is much less public pressure or even governmental pressure to institute new mask guidelines and so forth. The question is for people who are opposed to all of this is, okay, how's it supposed to work out? And what's supposed to happen? And how many more people need to get sick? The problem right now, and the reason that there's more and more and more talk about just trying to persuade people to do a public-spirited act that will actually benefit you and benefit your family and certainly benefit the country at large, and get yourself protected. Because the alternative for that is that we're going to be dealing with this controversy and this division and this illness and this pandemic for how many years? More years? Because literally the only way that people have found anywhere in the world to actually curbing the coronavirus is through this vaccine. And honest to goodness, take a look at this piece in the Wall Street Journal about the science of the Corona 19 vaccine, and you will feel reassured. You may feel reassured a little bit about the movie world, with four big new movies coming out, two of which are, two of the four, pretty darn good. We will get to that and more coming up on The MedVed Show. Michael Medved Show, so much looking forward to a glorious weekend. We're coming up to my son's birthday, which is a wonderful, he's still under 30, I can't believe it, with three kids. But so wonderful that Danny's birthday is coming up and Diane's birthday as well. They're very close to one another. And we plan all kinds of celebratory activities. Now, one of them won't be watching movies because I watch them all to prepare for today. And the latest from Hollywood, please. The biggest movie to be released today is, of course, Jungle Cruise. And in it, Emily Blunt, who was the new Mary Poppins for Disney, now is the new Katharine Hepburn for Disney, because the Jungle Cruise, even though it's based on a Disney theme park ride, it was an early ride from since 1955 at Disneyland. They just did an updating with political correction adjustments. But Jungle Cruise, Emily Blunt plays a British botanist in 1916 who is convinced that she can save countless lives with a mysterious plant that she means to discover in the Amazon. Now, to get there, she has to rent a rickety riverboat from a wisecracking skipper played by The Rock. Listen.
There is a legend in the jungles of the Amazon of a tree that heals all. It could change the world, but if it gets into the wrong hands, it could awaken a great evil.
I believe that the legend is real.
Which it's not.
And I'm going to find it.
Which you want.
When I do, just imagine the lives that could be saved. The lives that...
Okay, and just imagine the time that could be saved if they dispensed with about a dozen completely distracting, idiotic subplots, one of which involves a German prince who wants to take a U-boat down the Amazon to hunt for this same magical flower. There's also a surprise at the end about the real identity of one of the major characters. And it's just groan-inducing when you find out. It really is. Now, having said that, the movie's fun. And it's fun because the two stars are likable. They banter back and forth together with nicknames for each other. The special effects are okay. There's a waterfall scene that's quite spectacular. But the question that people are going to be asking is, okay, is it worth $30, which is the cost for renting it at Disney Plus? And maybe if you watch it with the whole family, because you can watch it with the whole family, there is also one thing that they do very well. Dwayne Johnson is pretty terrific at capturing some of the wisecracking that at the original Disneyland Jungle Cruise ride, they always did when they were taking you. They had a guy who was driving the boat who would make all kinds of, and now we're in the most dangerous part of the jungle, the L.A. freeways. Well, he doesn't say stuff like that, but it's that idea, and that works pretty well. 2.5 stars for PG-13 rated. Nothing in it that's too scary, despite a bit of zombie-like action at the end. 2.5 stars for Jungle Cruise. A much scarier movie, and one that is very much rated R, is called The Green Knight. And this is an adaptation of a famous poem, anonymous poem, from the 1300s. No kidding. And in it, the nephew of King Arthur, Gawain, who is played by Dev Patel here, has to confront a vicious giant who wants to play a game. You get to strike me with your sword or your axe, and then I get to do it back to you after you make a quest voyage a year from now. Listen.
O greatest of kings, let one of your knights try to land a blow against me. Indulge me in this game.
I will be deep.
And what do you hope to gain from facing all of this?
That is why a knight does what he does.
Are you ready?
Okay, you may not be ready. This is a dark, often gloomy movie, but it's hypnotizing. The camera work and the sets and the evocation of a lost medieval world are beautiful. There's no other word for it. And the performances by Dev Patel and Alicia Vikander plays the woman who is deeply devoted to him. Look, these are wonderful performances, and everything is admirable as the movie unfolds. There's even a computer-generated fox who becomes a companion to Sir Gawain, who isn't quite a knight yet, he's careful to confirm. The original source, Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, is kind of tough to read and tough to figure out, but its mysteries historically are part of what feeds this extremely well-rendered film by director David Lowery, who did Shallows among... No, he didn't do Shallows. He has actually done other films along the way that show his deft touch. The problem is it is tough to figure out the end of the film without reference to countless other works of literature. 3 stars for The Green Knight. It's rated R very much, and it's playing in theaters. Pursuit of Love is an Amazon Prime Video. It's a 3-part miniseries. It's not rated. It stars Lily James and Emily Beecham as 2 cousins who were also best friends in England before the World War II. Listen.
Whoever invented love ought to be shot.
She's an intensely romantic character, which is fatal for a woman.
Let's hope women can decide who they are, irrespective of who they marry.
Okay, this is based on a very popular novel from 1945, which is called Pursuit of Love. It's by Nancy Mitford. And this is supposed to be loosely based on the experience of Nancy Mitford and her very controversial sisters. But none of that is in the movie, because the sisters became controversial because one of them was a communist lifelong. The other became a Nazi until that was no longer viable. And none of that is in the film. But what is in the film is the idea of a sort of spitfire, wild girl who doesn't want to do anything conventionally, and her more prissy cousin, and yet the bond between them is very deep. The acting is consistently superb. Superb. And the movie deserves 3 stars. It's not rated, but it has all kinds of adult references. So does The Weight of Gold, which is rated TV-14. It's on HBO Max. And The Weight of Gold is a documentary about not the Olympics, but about Olympians, narrated mostly by Michael Phelps, with other Olympians like Lolo Jones and Apollo Ono and others, talking about what happens to Olympic athletes after they get off the world stage. Listen.
Win or lose, I've felt a dramatic emptiness.
We're just so lost. The good 80%, maybe more, go through some kind of post-Olympic depression.
It's gold, and then what?
I didn't develop outside interests.
I thought of myself as just a swimmer and not a human being.
Okay, but all of these people emerge as human beings. The Olympians that they interview are charismatic, sympathetic, and it's tough to say that you feel sorry or pity for people who are so great-looking and healthy, obviously. They're not all mentally healthy, and that's part of what the film is about, is it probes some of the depression, clinical depression, that some Olympic athletes have struggled with, and some of the mental health that is so much in the news right now, especially after Simone Biles pulled out. The film is riveting to watch. It is not depressing, actually, as it is inspirational and makes you feel better. I mean, you tend to look at Olympics as Olympians, as demigods, as Olympians like the Greek Olympians on Mount Olympus. A lot of problems. And frankly, this film makes the point, they also, even the gold medal winners like Michael Phelps, don't make nearly as much money as people assume. 3.5 stars for The Weight of Gold. This is an exceptional film, and one very much worth seeing for a perspective on the Olympics and the Olympic Games. Okay, Trump has been out of office now for 6 months, and the Washington Post Outlook section asked a couple of reporters to go back and look at what he got right at his greatest accomplishments as president. And they've come out with a surprising piece of work. We'll talk to them on Monday. We'll also talk about a biracial doctor who was fired from her job because she criticized Black Lives Matter. Can you believe it? We will believe it and cover it on Monday in This Greatest Nation on God's